around you here is the Texas Longhorns fight song, because tonight the big one is finally upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the College Countdown podcast here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, joined as always by Wes Bunting. Tonight, the big one has finally arrived, Texas and Alabama, for all the marbles in Pasadena. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're joined today by Matt Snake Eyes Bowen as well. He's coming off the two-day hangover. His Hawkeyes, the big win in the Orange Bowl over a lackluster Georgia Tech team. We will try to break him down a little bit, bring him off the high horse from the big win. Probably won't work. Bunning, you're here. How are you, my friend? Big win in the GMAC Bowl last night. We picked Troy, but we got the 4 points. Central Mich only won by 3, so another win on the board. How do you feel?
Yeah, we're 2-0 in the last 2 days, Joe. I feel good about tonight, to be honest. I think we'll be able to pick another win tonight, finish the year off 3-0. Can't get any better than that.
No, not at all. And we're moving along strong. Real quickly, let's talk about the GMAC Bowl. Ended up being a real good game. 2 overtimes. Central Michigan pulls it out by 3 points on a field goal in the second overtime. What did you take away from that game? Your boy LaFever, he put up some decent numbers.
Yeah, and he's going to put up decent numbers. And I think they did a nice job, Central Michigan, that is. Antonio Brown in the slot, simply too good of an athlete to match up one-on-one in the Troy secondary. Consistently able to separate. LaFever did a nice job throwing him open, allowing him to create after the catch. And the guy's simply too dynamic in the open field. Made some big plays down the stretch, and I thought he was the difference in this one.
And for those of you out there who thought bowl season ended with the GMAC Bowl, you are incorrect. You are incorrect, because we've got another one tonight. The GMAC Bowl might be the pinnacle in some people's opinion, but we've got one more to play. We'll get to it shortly. Bowen's on the line. Bowen, you weren't able to join us yesterday, clearly hungover, took the day off. Hawkeyes win. Hawkeyes win 2 nights ago. Huge win for the Big Ten. How you feeling?
Well, I feel great. I feel great for the program. I'm very proud to be an ex-Hawkeye after watching them steamroll the Yellow Jackets in the Orange Bowl. Great effort by Kirk's team up front. They were beasts on the offensive line and the defensive line. Big night from Claiborne. Big night running the ball with freshman running backs. I'll tell you what, that's good coaching. You win 11 games with freshman running backs. You know, not a lot of skill players on the outside. That's good coaching. That's Iowa football. And you know what, Joe? Like we talked about all week, don't knock the Big Ten right now. The top four teams, Joe Pa, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and my Hawkeyes all won big games. So Pat 40 from ESPN was real quiet in the Twitter account during the Orange Bowl, I'll tell you that.
Well, 40 doesn't seem to like the Big Ten all that much, but you and I are both Big Ten alum. We both played at prestigious programs. That clearly is a lie. I did not play at Penn State. You did play at Iowa. But I'll be honest, too. It's a great week to be a Big Ten alum. We got some big marquee wins. The four big programs won the four big bowl games. Northwestern looked very impressive against Auburn with a chance to win that one. So a little love, little pride for the Big Ten. You don't hear anyone out of the Pac-10 chirping right now. They were an embarrassment during bowl season. But if you could take one thing away from that game you watched the other night with Iowa, I mean, they looked great. They completely shut down the option. But from what you were watching for four quarters, what do you take away from that win? What stood out the most?
I think they're just bigger and stronger up front. I mean, that's always the knock in the Big Ten. Well, you don't have the speed. You know, the SEC can't compete with those teams. The ACC, they're so much faster and more athletic. Well, when it comes to running the ball downhill and getting off blocks on defense, Iowa look better. They look stronger. They look more prepared. That's Kirk Ferentz football at Iowa. That's what he recruits, and that's what he teaches. So those ACC boys got a little taste of what it takes to play in the Big Ten.
Yes, they did. Now, let's put all of that aside, because the big one is here. Number 2 Texas, 13-0 out of the Big 12, where they went 8-0 this year, takes on the Alabama Crimson Tide tonight in Pasadena. Alabama coming into the game 13-0 as well. Also 8-0 in conference. They're out of the SEC. This line opened up at 5.5 points. Bama was a favorite. It's now down to 4, which means public money might be moving towards the Texas side with all those points. We'll keep an eye on that as the day progresses, because there's going to be a lot of action in Vegas on this one. But more on that in a little bit. Wes, let's start with you. The last memory most people have of this Texas team is the game against Nebraska in the Big 12 championship. They won 13-12, but McCoy was on his back all night. The Texas offensive line was dominated by Ndamukong Suh from Nebraska. What is you know, let's get to it. What is Texas going to have to do to be able to protect tonight? Obviously, Alabama and Nick Saban watched that game film. They're going to come after him. What's Texas going to need to do?
Well, Texas, one, they need to stay out of unmanageable third and long situations. They have left tackle Adam Wotolski on the outside. This is a big Texas boy, 6'8", 310 pounds, slow-footed, lacks ideal range and fluidity off the edge, Joe. Looks more like a right tackle-only prospect in the NFL. And then you have Chris Hall and Charlie Tanner inside, and these two struggled tremendously versus the likes of Gerald McCoy and Adonikung Sue. Any legit NFL prospect they've faced all there, they really struggled. And anytime we see pressure right up the gut, Colt McCoy has really struggled this year. And I think keeping Texas, that offense, out of third and long situations is the key tonight.
He's not as highly rated as Sue, but Terrence Mount Cody manning the middle on the defensive line for the Crimson Tide tonight. Is he going to be a factor in this one?
Well, anytime you have a guy, Joe, that's 6'5", 365 pounds inside, they're going to find a way to be a factor. But I think we're going to see Terrence Cody do his big things tonight on third down, third and short situations where he can anchor in, eat up blocks, and keep Texas from converting those third and short situations. The Texas offense on first and second down love to play in space. They love to spread the field, dink and dunk, get the ball out of the hands of Colt McCoy quickly. Terrence Cody, this guy isn't a pass rusher. He's not a guy that chases the football in space, can quickly shed inside. This is a guy that eats up blocks, likes to play in tight quarters and make everyone around him better. So if we're expecting an Adonikung Sue, a Gerald McCoy performance tonight from Mount Cody, that's not going to happen. But in third and short situations, that's where you got to zone in on Cody.
Bowen, you played in some big games when you were at Iowa, never a BCS game. I'm not going to blame you for not getting the Hawkeyes to a BCS game, although some people might. Not me personally. Some people might feel it was your fault. But a lot of these guys, what we've seen in bowl games, you know, some of these kids are coming out. They're on the national stage. They're getting off to some slow starts. Obviously, it's natural. I mean, there's nerves. Everyone in the world is watching. What do you do to combat something like that as a player? I mean, what's going through your mind when you walk out there? Everyone's got their eyes on you. The entire world's watching. And you've had a month, to think about this game.
Yeah, and you're right, Joe. You know, I have two Sun Bowl watches and an Alamo Bowl watch.
That's awesome.
In a box somewhere. But, you know, even though I never played in a BCS game, you know, the layoff is the same. That's the hard part for college football, and it's the part that we could talk about down the road that needs to be fixed. But these kids, they get 30 days off. They have to get through their finals in school. And then a lot of times you'll go back to almost like a spring practice format. You'll go ones against ones and just run your offense and run your defense. Just keep your feet under you. And then you start game playing with about 2 weeks left to go to the game. But the problem is, so you haven't played live football. You know, you're not going to tackle in practice. You're not going to have full special teams in practice. So what happens is in that first quarter of these big games, you know, teams aren't fresh. What I mean when they're not fresh, they're not game fresh. They haven't played for a while. It takes a while to get your pads set. Takes a while to get off blocks, to use your hands, the little things that come with playing each Saturday. So that's going to be the thing to watch tonight, especially in a huge game like this. The game has been pumped up since, you know, Thanksgiving. Let's see who's ready to play. Let's see who can run their game plan. Let's see who can tackle well on defense. And let's see who can block. Let's see the little things happen, because that's going to be the team that's going to start off fast.
Colt McCoy's been a 4-year starter at Texas. Do you feel that this game will define his legacy? Do you feel that, you know, if he doesn't win this thing tonight, he might come out of there and it was kind of all for nothing?
Well, if you want to get mentioned with Vince Young, he has to win. I mean, let's be honest. Whenever we talk about Texas football of recent past, we talk about the Vince Young team that won the national title and beat SC. If he wants to be included in that, if he wants to be more than just he's a very good college quarterback, he's got to get a ring, a national championship ring. It's not much different than NFL quarterbacks. It's like we talk about Dan Marino all the time, great quarterback, never got the ring. In college, you know, Tim Tebow's going to be talked about more than Colt McCoy, unless Colt McCoy can get it done.
Very good point. Wes, speaking of Colt McCoy, his favorite target this year, roommate and country singing sensation Jordan Shipley. You can't ever watch a Texas game without Shipley at some point playing the guitar in some feature that ABC has been nice enough to do for us. We've all loved him. Thank you so much. But he also is a wide receiver and football player. Is Alabama going to be able to slow this kid down? They love to throw it to him. Do they have his number?
Yeah, I think so, Joe. And when we see from Shipley, this guy isn't an overly physical or overly shifty athlete off the line. So when he plays on the outside, he struggles to beat press coverage, as we saw against Oklahoma. So the Texas coaching staff, they've done a nice job moving him around, keeping him off the line, putting him in the slot, giving him a two-way go, and allowing him to create inside. However, Alabama has a versatile defensive back in Javier Arenas. 5'9", 200 pounds. This guy's physical, instinctive, has a real savvy for the game. He can press, he can play off zone, he can blitz tackle. The guy does it all, Joe. But what Alabama loves to do is kick this guy into the slot on third downs where he can press, take slot receivers out of the game. And then once they start to get a rhythm, they'll blitz him off the edge. He can tackle, can shoot gaps inside. So he does a lot of good things. But when matched up with Shipley one-on-one tonight, I think he has the advantage. And if Shipley fails to prove that he can beat press coverage inside the slot or get off, separate versus a guy like Arenas, I mean, that's not going to stand well for him in terms of the next level where he has to beat slot coverage inside.
What's Colt McCoy going to have to do to win this game?
Well, he's got to decipher information quickly, Joe. Anytime we've seen Colt McCoy get pressure right up the gut against Oklahoma, against Nebraska, the first thing he does, his head goes down, he stares at his initial read, and then tries to take off. If his initial read's not on, really struggles to find a second, third progression. So with 4 weeks to prepare for this game, I think if he's not quick or able to decipher information, because we know Alabama's going to bring pressure right up those A-gaps, he's going to be in for a long night. This is a big game in terms of his draft stock. With all this time to prepare, and we talked about Tebow in the same fashion, with 4 weeks to prepare and get ready for a defense, if he doesn't show well in this one against a top-level team like Bama, it's really going to hurt his draft stock.
Bowen, serious question. Why do these college halftimes take so long? You've played in it before, and you've talked to me in the NFL. There's a good story you have about running into the locker room in the NFL, and you get the 15 minutes, but the clock starts before you even get in there. What do you do during that 1 hour that we have to sit through at halftime today? What would you personally be doing?
Well, when I was in college, we were talking and telling stories about, like, sorority row and stuff like that. It's way too long, Joe. It's way too long. And just like you and I have talked about, I mean, the Orange Bowl halftime, cool in the game, and get out of here with that stuff. I want to watch football. I don't want to watch cool in the game, man. I don't want to watch some early 90s, band up on the stage. I just don't. But that's part of the pageantry, I guess. And you know it's going to be bad tonight. It's going to be long. And the only good thing it does is if you're trailing at halftime, it gives you some time to adjust the game plan. You can get on the chalkboard. In the NFL, you don't have that time. You go in, you get Gatorade, you make one adjustment, and you go back out and kick the ball up. In college, you can make those adjustments. I had a special team coach in the pros who said it the best. He said, in the pros, you make adjustments to the next play. In college, you make the adjustments at halftime. So you're going to get that long halftime. Great for a coach like Nick Saban. I mean, he can put together basically a couple new schemes in 30 minutes. You know, you give him that time, he can do that.
So what you're saying is it's somewhat of an advantage to a team that's trailing at the half in college football because they're going to have so much time to make adjustments.
I think so. Games I played in college, and I had good coordinators on the defensive side, we would come up with, install a new cover zero, install a new way to play cover one, to adjust the line versus unbalanced. You'll see teams do some different things in the offensive line tonight. If they get ahead in that defensive line, you can go in the half, you can make some adjustments. This is what they're doing. That's why those guys are in the box. They're taking all these notes to present to the coordinators when they get their half and say, we got to change this. They're kicking our butt with this.
Bunning, let's go back to you, and let's talk a little bit about the Alabama offense. Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner, coming out of the backfield. We've seen him big in games, i.e. Florida and some of the other ones this year. We've seen games where he's been shut down, like the Auburn game at the end of the year. When you look at this, what's Alabama going to need to do to make the big plays in this game?
Well, I think it starts, Joe, up front, obviously, but Julio Jones, wide receiver, the freak on the outside, big 6'4", 220-pound target. We know he can stretch the defenses vertically. We know he can consistently beat man-on-man coverage. But what it's so overlooked part of his game is his ability to block downfield. And if Mark Ingram consistently wants to spring big runs in the secondary, Julio Jones is the guy to look at. They love to run the ball to his side on outside pitches, get him off tackle then, and then when Julio Jones is able to steal a defender at the second level, that's what creates so much for Mark Ingram. So keep an eye on Julio Jones tonight, not only in the pass game though, but his ability in the block in the run game is definitely an X factor in this one.
Talk about the Alabama quarterback a little bit. We're sitting here talking about McCoy nonstop, but Crimson Tide have a pretty good signal caller as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I think Will Muschamp, the defensive coordinator at Texas, on first and second down, Joe, they're going to load the box up. They're a bit undersized in their front seven, so we'll see Earl Thomas, the All-American safety, come up into the box, force McElroy to beat him. Because what are you going to sleep with that night, Joe? Are you going to sleep with letting Mark Ingram beat you, the Heisman Trophy winner? Or are you going to sleep with a guy like McElroy beating you through the air? So I think they're going to try to force McElroy to light it up, throw the ball through the air on first and second down. I think Alabama, though, needs to just stick to the run game, be content 3-4 yards at a time, and then work off the play action game. But McElroy's done a much better job managing the game, completing passes underneath, and then taking shots downfield when need be.
Bowen, what are the odds we see Matthew McConaughey on the Texas sidelines tonight?
real high, with the long hair, the tight, you know, leather jacket, some old school Texas t-shirt, you know. I know he broke up with Lance Armstrong. They had that bromance going, so he won't be there with him.
I think Lance is going to be there, though. I was seeing it on Twitter. I think he's going to be there tonight. And McConaughey, he's always on the sidelines. So there could be an awkward moment between those two since the ending of the bromance. So
yeah, it could be bad. Hey, Wes, I want to ask Wes a question.
I ask the questions around here. You can ask me, and then I'll ask Wes.
Sorry, Joe. Ask Wes. Why there is such a lack of NFL talent at the quarterback position in the SEC right now.
Wes, feel free to answer.
Oh, so you're not going to ask me, Joe? I can answer directly to Matt?
I don't feel like it.
Well, Matt, I mean, you got to look at the systems. First off, I mean, you look at a power like LSU right away. I mean, what system? They go from spread to option looks to two-back looks. I mean, I don't even think Les Miles know what he's doing. Florida, there's so many spread looks. There's, you know, obviously a ton of amount of talent down there. But where do most of the big-time quarterbacks come from? That's Texas. And we see, you know, Mallett, I think, is from Texas. Snead's from Texas. They're the guys that kind of migrate over there. But the SEC in the South, they're not known for consistently producing big-time NFL quarterback prospects. So I think a combination of the system and then the big-time athletes, they don't play quarterback down South. They play running back, corner, wide receiver. There's just so much talent down there, but I don't think they migrate as much to quarterback. So,
is there any chance that if Texas is down late in this one, Vince Young comes off the bench and makes a play?
I don't think so, Joe. I don't think he might be putting McConaughey on the sideline.
He could be drinking tequila in some basement party like before. But no, he's cleaning his
shirt off. Shirt off.
We shouldn't bust on Vince. He played well down the stretch. We busted him at the beginning of the year, but he did close nicely, so we'll give him that. All right. You know what? Prediction time. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Wes, you and I have been hot lately. Unfortunately, I did have Central Michigan in the bowl pick'em challenge last night. That gives the official win to Gastini, which I'm sure we're all thrilled about.
You guys lost to Gastini?
Yeah, he won. Of the four of us, he ended up winning it. It came down to last night. I had a shot to tie him. I was down 3 and won 2 nights ago with the Hawks and then lost last night. So that's it. Gastini takes home the championship. Enough on that topic. Matt, we'll start with you. If you have any last words, throw them in as to what you think is going to be the key. But prediction time, who you got tonight?
I like defense in the BCS games. I think the teams with the best defense win. I'm going to take Bama and Nick Saban. I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game, and I think Texas is going to struggle to move the football, especially to the air. McCoy's going to have to make a ton of plays tonight. I just don't think he can do that against that defense. The defense is going to be fundamentally sound. I think it's going to be, you know, a low-scoring, you know, something like I'm going to go Bama 17, Texas 13.
Oh, so at 4.5 points, you got Bama winning, but if you were laying money, you'd be on the Longhorns with that type of spread.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close, Cam. I don't think Bama can blow anybody out right now, so I'm gonna stick with Bama, but I'll give Texas the points. Yeah, I'll take that.
You know what? That's not a bad point you make about the defenses winning games. Ohio State, the better defense than Oregon, they won. The Hawks, the better defense than Georgia Tech, they won. When you look at the Sugar Bowl, that doesn't count. That was Florida and Cincinnati just running wild, but Florida's defense was better. They won. And then you go out to TCU Boise in a game people thought was going to be a shootout. It came down to a defensive struggle, and Boise was the one making the play. So very good point tonight about defense winning championships, but is it enough to cover the spread? Wes, let's go to you. You've been picking well all year. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to follow Matt's lead. I'm going to go with Bama in this one, Joe. But I like Bama's defense again. I think they have the ability up front to absolutely wilt the Texas offensive line. I think Colt McCoy, with pressure in his face, he struggles. Javier Arenas taking Jordan Shipley out of the game. I can't see Texas scoring many points in this one. Offensively for Bama, I think they just stick to the game plan, run the football, work off the play-action game, and I think they'll just start to wilt that Texas defense as the game goes on. I'll say close for the first three quarters. Alabama opens it up in the fourth quarter, creates some big plays. I like Bama 26, Texas 13.
There you go. That's a good one. Interesting pick for me in this one. I've been wrestling with it for a while. I think it's going to be a real good game. Bowen likes defense. I like that. I also like coaching, and nothing against Mac Brown, but what Saban has done in his career in the NCAA has been extraordinary. He won at Michigan State. Nobody wins at Michigan State. He went to LSU and won a national title, went to the Dolphins for a little while. We'll forget about that. Went to Alabama. A lot of people forget that program was pretty much a joke before he took over. They weren't contenders since Gene Stallings had left. And he built them right back up. He was winning games with John Parker Wilson at quarterback and a bunch of, the previous regime's recruits. Now his recruits are in. He had them close to the national title game last year. They lost to Florida in the SEC title. He's got him in the title game this year. He got him over the hump. I find it very difficult to pick against a coach who his team's disciplined. His teams are smart. They're balanced. They work hard. They understand it. I'm going Alabama in this one. You can't pick against a coach like that, in my opinion. I'm going to take Bama 31, Texas 21. I think Bama gets out early and then plays smart football, runs the ball, plays defense, minimizes Colt McCoy. See ya. Next time we'll be talking about him, we'll be draft day. That's how I feel. Anyone want to refute that great analysis?
Not the Senior Bowl, Joe?
No, I think the over-under on McConaughey, Lance Armstrong sightings is 3. I'm taking the over.
Yeah, you're going over on that. McConaughey, they'll show him at least 3 or 4 times. You gotta remember, this is a spectacle of an event. It's not a football game. They know the women are watching. They're going to go to McConaughey. Wes, that's what you'd be watching, right?
Yeah, obviously. But Bowen, can I ask Bowen a question, Joe?
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that.
Bowen, can you break down for the listeners exactly what a bromance is?
Bromance, it's just... You know, it's a Hollywood thing. It's People Magazine, and they start showing these guys running every day with their shirts off right next to each other. You know, that's what they do. They run around, and they're Hollywood guys. I don't know. That's what Hollywood dudes do, I guess. I don't know. I'm a Chicago guy. You know, I drink beer and watch Joaquin the Bulls. So
have you and your cousin, the big Puma, ever run down the streets of Chicago with no shirts on next to each other?
Puma running? That's not happening.
What about Puma exercising? Is that not happening either?
That's not happening either.
Joe, we're not taking shots at people that aren't around to defend themselves. Come on, man.
Shut up, Wes. I'll cut you off right now. Oh, that's great. All right, boys. Well, listen, great analysis as always. I'm going to let you go and cut this thing off because I know we all want to start drinking beer. It's about 1 o'clock. Wes and I are going to be back. Bowen's going to join us. We're going to keep doing a lot of the draft coverage. We're going to hit you up from the Senior Bowl with prospects, the works. Wes is going to be at the East-West Shrine Game talking to those guys as well. So don't worry, we're not going anywhere. But this is the Final College Countdown podcast. So for Matt Bowen, Wes Bunning, I'm Joe Fortball. As always, thanks for tuning in and enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you next time.